Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, from high atop the ice surface at the MTS Center. Welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, joined in the press box by my colleague, Richard Pollock, and producer, Michael Remus. The Winnipeg Jets have just defeated the Tampa Bay Lightning by a 4-3 margin in a shootout, a game that the Winnipeg Jets had to win. It was less important that they do so in regulation, but they had to get the 2 points. But it should have been a lot easier as they had a 3-1 lead entering the third period.
Yeah, Drew, you know, of course, you take the W and the regulation wins in this scenario. The Jets are actually strong in, so it's not as big of an issue. Of course, you know, looking at it from big picture, you don't want to be the team that blew a 2-goal lead coming into the third at home. But you salvaged it, and that's all that matters. You got the points, and at the end of the day, that's all that matters. And they showed some guts there. They could have collapsed, and there were a couple times
they had
there.
Plenty of opportunities, too.
And they certainly gave the Lightning plenty of opportunities. But at the end of the day, they got the 2 points. That's all that matters. And they head into Thursday's game tied with the Rangers.
Still alive in the playoffs. They are now, like you said, tied with the New York Rangers for 8th spot, the same number of points. The Rangers do have one game in hand on the Winnipeg Jets, so the standings will still look the same to come tomorrow. But the Jets kept pace with the Washington Capitals, who were victors on home ice tonight against the Toronto Maple Leafs. And they kept pace against the New York Islanders, who played their final home game of the regular season tonight. They destroyed the Florida Panthers, as is becoming a pattern around the NHL. But the Islanders' schedule gets a lot harder now. They go on the road for the next 5 games to finish the year, and the Jets kept things right in front of them, leading up potentially to what could be that huge game Saturday afternoon if everything goes right on Thursday, as you'd expect against the Carolina Hurricanes.
Yeah, you would expect. Carolina's a team that's out of it. They're done. And those are the games you have to have. Tampa Bay was out of it today and done. It took a little bit longer than maybe it should have, but at the end of the day, they got the win.
That's right. And so the Jets lived to fight another day. Now, had they ended up losing in this shootout, it probably wouldn't have automatically spelled their defeat. We figure 5-0-1, and they still have a shot at making it into the playoffs. But 6-0 is a lot more palatable than 5-0-1, which just goes to show you how much of an 8-ball they put themselves behind with that 5-game losing streak that ended last week here at MTS Center.
Yeah, they're exactly right, Drew. I mean, they lose tonight in overtime or shootout. They got to go 5. They got to go. You know, they got to run the table the rest of the way.
Yeah,
tough task, especially with the back to back. You know, on out of town, which is very difficult,
right?
And certainly no guarantee in any event that they'd make it based on those circumstances. So the Jets have once again
4 in a row at home ice. Can't argue with it. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't a Picasso, but it's still 2 points in the standings, and that's all that matters. The Jets opened the scoring at the 1:23 mark of the first period, got out to that hot start again. Mm-hmm. That's really proved to be so important to this team in the last, especially against going up against the weaker competition that really has quote unquote nothing to play for.
Yep.
It was Andrew Ladd. He gets the goal, assist to Blake Wheeler and Brian Little. Little forces a neutral zone turnover, sort of right around the Jets' blue line. Picks up the puck. Dishes it to Blake Wheeler. Wheeler hits the Lightning zone with some speed. Behind the back, drop pass to Andrew Ladd. 5-hole shot, beats Ben Bishop. Not a good goal. A save that Ben Bishop has to make, but the Jets get on the scoreboard at the start.
Yeah, you know, we said it throughout the kind of the year in terms of the podcast. You shoot, you score, and the Jets put the puck on net tonight, and it helped them. That was a shot that Bishop had to have. Bishop started the game, I thought, pretty shaky. Mm-hmm. Settled in kind of into the third period finally, but the theme is 5-hole. The Jets were targeting 5-hole in the shootout. Ended up being successful in an opportunity there. But, you know, you put the puck on net, you put it at the 5-hole. May have been an intentional shot based upon kind of how they were shooting at him in the shootout. Mm-hmm. And Bishop has to have it, but Jets will take it.
Yeah, the Jets will take it, exactly. They got off to the hot start that they wanted.
You know, they gave him an extension quickly. As an aside, Tampa gave him the extension. He hasn't started off very smoothly in Tampa, but they obviously have confidence in him that he can do the job.
Yeah, they gave him, what, 2 years and $5.2 million, I believe?
I didn't see the terms, actually.
I think it's around two. I don't quote me on the 2.6, but I believe it is at least two and change, I think, for Ben Bishop for the 2 years.
Shows what you can do with 25, 30 NHL games under your belt.
Yeah, especially. I mean, now the question is, did he look better as a result of being in Ottawa than he actually is? You know, the Lightning will find that out soon enough, obviously. That's an aside, obviously. Martin St. Louis ties the game up at the 10:27 mark of the first period. Assist goes to Ron Hainsey for one of the most mind-boggling turnovers you're ever going to see an NHL player commit.
Yeah, I mean, a backhand up the middle in his own zone to Bogosian, who even if he gets it, gets the puck picked off of him or turns it over likely. Terrible play. You learn that when you're three.
Mm-hmm.
Painsy was pretty bad tonight, I thought. But that turnover is inexcusable. And if you're in the playoff stretch and you need the game, and not only do you make that turnover against Marty St. Louis, who could be top five offensive talent in the National Hockey League. He's just dominant all night, really. Again, inexcusable.
Yeah.
And the Jets bailed him out. But, you know, they lose this game straight, clean. And you're pointing to that as one of the main turning points of the season.
Absolutely. I mean, Ron Hainsey in that play, just keep it in the corner, you know, put the puck sort of, you know, recycle it along the boards and you have no problem. But it was a pass that you just sort of had to chuckle at it how absurd it was for an NHL player to make that pass. Jets, so after 20 minutes, the score was 1-1. Sort of an innocuous first period.
Yeah, Jets should have had the lead. I thought they outplayed Tampa for the most part, probably 60-40. But, you know, you play them 60-40 and you keep them hanging around 1-1. You don't feel great about yourself.
Yeah, but it wasn't an overwhelming dominant performance by the Jets or anything. They get on the scoreboard at the 8:37 mark of the second period. Blake Wheeler gets the goal, assist to Andrew Ladd and Zach Bogosian. This is all Andrew Ladd. He was the best Jet player on the ice tonight by far. He's battling along the left side boards, really in a battle that sort of started between the red line and the blue line. Him and Victor Hedman are battling for the puck. It's just a good, hard-fought battle that Ladd wins.
That's Watson Moore.
Yeah, that's all that was. Because physically, Hedman's bigger.
Yep.
Hedman's stronger. Mm-hmm. But that's the desire that that Andrew Ladd and the want that Andrew Ladd had to make that play happen. He ends up.
Didn't they fight last year? Did they drop the gloves last year? I know Ladd fought somebody in Tampa. I think it might have been Hedman. I'm not so sure he's stronger, but he's bigger.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you're not so sure that Hedman's stronger, you said.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he's definitely bigger. But whatever it is, Andrew Ladd out-muscles him, out-wants him, gets the puck.
For sure.
You're now into the Lightning zone, feathers it across to Blake Wheeler. And Wheeler with a...
Gudas kind of goes at him in a line. And Gudas isn't a great skater, Drew. So when he goes at him in a line...
Gudas goes at Wheeler?
Yeah. And when he goes at him in a line, he loses his position. And once he loses his position, Wheeler shows tremendous patience. Waits until Bishop goes down. Puts the puck in past him. Goal scores goal. Ladd was the best player on the ice for the Jets. Wheeler was second.
Yeah. And they finished first and second in the three stars, so there's something to be said for that. But that was just a tremendous. I mean, after in the post game press conference, which you'll be able to hear a little bit later on here on IllegalCurve.com, you know, Coach Noel will talk about the want and the desire that Andrew Ladd demonstrated on that play.
He's been just amazing all year. I mean, I think he gets an A+ really for the season he's had so far. If you're giving out grades,
best year of his career,
no question about it.
Yeah, no. I mean, you know, he's won the two cups, but in terms of he's carried this team on his back for
all year,
and you know, certain games where he's just saying we're going to win this game, and tonight was one of those.
Tonight was one of those. You can tell by the celebration at the end of the night how much it meant to him.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, 5 minutes later, the Jets appeared to make it 3-1. On a goal by Grant Kletsam, disallowed for goaltender interference. You know, again, Andrew Ladd is the one who gets who's allegedly interfering with Ben Bishop. To my mind, he's standing next to Bishop, and it's not really. You know, we've seen a lot get called that not get called that was more goaltender interference, and this is twice now: the Blake Wheeler goal in Montreal and the Andrew Ladd goal here, or the Grant Kletsam goal tonight, that were both disallowed for goaltender interference that I thought were sort of iffy calls.
Yeah, I tend to agree on this one for sure, Drew. I thought that, you know, I guess you can call it down because he's in the crease technically. You see that go both ways. They're at home. I thought that shouldn't have been a call. I thought that was a bad call. Not the worst call I've ever seen, but I thought it was a bad call. And if I would have been referee there, I thought I would have kind of let that go. Because he didn't interfere with Bishop's ability to make the save, in my opinion.
Well, it's two points. One, last game on, I guess that would have been last Thursday, when Andrei Pavlik, I thought, was more interfered with.
He was.
He was more interfered with, but he didn't fight through it at all.
Right.
And they called it a goal, and you said in the postgame podcast, he has to demonstrate that he's fighting through the guy. Bishop didn't demonstrate that he was trying to fight through the guy, and they called it no goal in this instance.
The default here is he's in the crease,
so
that's
fine.
A problem. But I personally don't think it should have been called, but the default is you're in the crease.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying.
But at the same time, last time, you know, Pavlik didn't fight through it at all. Mm-hmm. They called that down? No. They called that penalty last game?
No, they didn't.
Yeah, and he was in the crease. So you can't have it both ways. If he's in the crease, you got to call it both times. And that's the inconsistency, but that's ref to ref. I don't believe the refs tonight were the refs that were here on Thursday.
Right.
And so that's the discretion you're going to have.
And you saw afterwards, Claude Noel on the bench was about as fired up as you ever see him in the midst of the game.
I like to see it.
Barking at the ref, you know, and you know, sometimes you don't necessarily like it, you know, all the time. But when it really matters and everybody raises up their intensity, mm-hmm. and Coach Noel did that, especially on that play, you could see his disapproval with the officiating decision there. The second point
the fans were disapproved, I thought.
Yeah, well, the fans always disapprove. The second point I thought, and we were talking about this, you know, before. If it's a if it's goaltender interference, or if it's no goal for goaltender interference, it should be a penalty for goaltender interference. I don't think the ref should be able to play that sort of wishy-washy. It should be one or the other.
Well, but there's two different things. I mean, if you're in the crease, you know, you play rec league. If you're in the crease, they blow it down, they call it outside.
Fine.
If you interfere, you interfere. Two different things.
Fine, but I mean, they don't. That's not a rule in the NHL that you can. You're not allowed to stand in the crease for 3 seconds or something.
I'm not sure. I think you whistle down if it's in the crease. I'm pretty sure.
Well, how often?
I don't have the rule book in front of me.
How often does that ever come up? To me, if you're going to wave that down, it should be a clear goaltender interference. It should be a penalty.
That's the same argument as the dive and the penalty. Like,
absolutely.
can you have both? Well, I think you can have both.
The problem is you can't have a goal and a penalty. It's almost counterintuitive.
Yeah.
But regardless, the Jets did make it 3-1 a few minutes after the disallowed goal at the 17:54 mark. This came on the power play. Andrew Ladd, again, notice that we said his name a lot. He gets his second of the game, assist to Blake Wheeler and Zach Bogosian. It's a wrist shot. He uses Keith Ollie, the defender, as a screen.
Yeah, Bishop's got to have
Bishop's
this
Bishop's got to have it, yeah.
You know, if you're Stevie Eisman, you put all your stock in Lindbeck, boom, done. You know, you've basically given up on him for the most part. Not totally, but you've said, okay, we think Bishop can be better. Bishop comes in and gets one game. But you got to make a save like that. You got to make a save like the first goal. You can't have, when you're a netminder in the National Hockey League, and that's, I stress, National Hockey League, which Bishop hasn't been for the most part throughout his career, and he's not that young. The shots from Ladd on the first and third goals, you know, you give Ladd credit as a fan and you know, as an observer. You don't, but Bishop's got to have both of those.
Yeah.
And if you're John Cooper, you're going back in the room and, you know, you're not selling him out like Guy Boucher did, because that was one of the reasons Guy Boucher lost his job.
Right.
But you're
sold
thinking,
out to Anders Lindback.
You're thinking to yourself, hey, you know, this game looks a lot different on that scoreboard.
If he makes the saves he's supposed to make. Absolutely. He should make the first goal save, and he should make the third goal save. So you flip that around, and all of a sudden, you know, Tampa Bay might have the lead. After 40 minutes, the Jets are up 3-1. Mm-hmm. You think that they're pretty much home and cooled, because Tampa is not a team that has anything to play for.
Right.
Much like we saw with Florida, you know, they mailed in the game on last Thursday.
Florida mailed it in, and Buffalo in the first period.
Right.
Tampa played hard, at least.
Yeah. Right. And they were rewarded for their hard play. Mm-hmm. They made a 3-2 at the 5:19 mark of the third period. Pierre-Luc Labrie gets the goal, assist to Nate Thompson and Gudas. Grant Clitsam misses the hip check.
That was the key, because Grant Clitsam misses the hip check, and then he gets out of position.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't really the place, Drew, to make the hip check. You got to be damn sure you're going to make that hip check, and he didn't make it. And when he didn't make it, not only did the guy get by him, I believe it was Thompson, but then Clitsam is too far, is higher up in the zone than he needs to be, and when the Lightning go towards the net, he's out of position, and the guy who scores could arguably be considered his man. He blows both plays, and it's 3-2.
Exactly right. Now, that wasn't the only time he tried that hip check. He tried that hip check later on in the third period as well,
mm-hmm.
and missed it again. It didn't end up costing the Jets in that one, but when he missed it that second time, it might have even been overtime in the 4-on-4. And, you know, he's really put himself out of the play, and you're holding your breath because, well, I mean, if Tampa has anything, it's guys who know how to put the puck in the net. 3-2 at that point after that miscue by Grant Clitsam. The right play is just take your guy into the corner safely. Who cares if you don't
make
the spectacular
play? Right.
And then at the 11:17 mark, Steven Stamkos. I mean, you knew you're going to hear from him eventually. He's too good.
He's too good. It's the same story for both games they've had here. I mean, he could have had five.
Yeah.
You know, but that's what happened.
But he can only have five every game.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. The guys like that could have had five. That's why they get one or two every game, because they could have five. Nobody's going to score five.
Right. Steven Stamkos, he ties the game up at the 11:17 mark, assist to Matt Carl. Probably a shot that Andrei Pavlik should have in that instance, even though it's Steven Stamkos.
I totally agree.
It's a shot from the top of the circle. Yeah, there's a bit of a screen in place from Ron Hainsey.
Totally agree.
But it's a save that Pavlik probably expects to have 9 times out of 10.
At 3-2 in a game that's a must win, he's got to have it.
Yeah. That point in time, it's 3-all. There's 10 minutes to go in the third period. This place, you could feel the tension
yes.
in this building. And really, for one of the first times since the Jets have come back, because you know, there's been tension. There's been moments of tension, but this is one of those moments of tension in a playoff race that you can. There's a palpable feeling about.
It's great to have it in the building. The tension is a good thing, I think.
Yeah, I don't think it's a problem. It's something that the Jets players are going to have to get used to, and you're going to have to respond one of two ways. I mean, you know, they could have easily wilted, and they almost did. I mean, Steven Stamkos again.
I might have been offside there, though.
It was offside, but the refs missed the call.
Yeah.
And Steven Stamkos blew through and beat Andre Pavlik clean.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's also Bogosian and Hainsey especially blew that play. Mm-hmm. He got beat straight to the net, and I think Little was a back checker there. So that wasn't a good defensive sequence, but they got lucky. Lucky both ways. Lucky that it wasn't called offside, and lucky for the Jets. So I think that's a little bit of karma there.
Well, that's right. I think the hockey gods sort of rectified that one because he was clearly offside, as you know the screenshots have shown, is that he was clearly offside. The refs missed it. He breaks in. He beats Andre Pavlik, but the puck in his attempt to just really slide it in just slides it past the goalpost. And had that happened, it would have been a 4-3 Tampa lead. Less than 10 minutes to go in the game, the Jets would have given up, would have collapsed in the third period. Instead, no blood. The teams go into, they finish off regulation time pretty uneventfully. I think the Jets were sort of looked like they were almost okay to play for overtime.
Well, when you're the Jets at that point, you want to get a point because you know every point matters, and then you'll take your chances in overtime. And I thought overall the end of the game was fairly uneventful, and actually I thought overtime was fairly uneventful.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm sort of surprised Tampa didn't push it a little bit more because, again, what do you have to lose?
Fair enough.
Have to lose if you're Tampa Bay? Anyways, overtime solves nothing.
I thought overtime, you know, Tampa's a one-line team. Lecavalier's best days are behind him.
Oh, he was
He can't
invisible.
Move out there. And not can't move, but he doesn't move as well as he used to. But, you know, Tampa is rolling Stamkos and St. Louis all night. And when that 4-on-4, when they're not rolling that line, they really can't create enough.
Right. But, I mean, the truth is, you mentioned Lecavalier. That was the only time he was noticeable the entire game, is just when you mentioned him. And that entire second line, Ryan Malone was invisible, and Benoit Pouliot was also invisible.
You know, yeah, Benoit Pouliot's a guy who has a couple of spurts a game, and you think, wow, he can be great, and it's been his whole career.
That's why he's jumped from team to team to team. Anyways, no blood in overtime. It goes to a shootout. Blake Wheeler shoots first for the Jets. He's saved. Bishop makes the save on Wheeler. First shooter for Tampa is Teddy Purcell. Makes a nice move, but Andre Pavlik really extends his leg.
They both went. Both Tampa shooters went to his blocker side, and he made the save both times.
That's right. On Deeks. And he had to stretch out both times, but he successfully did it both times, kept the puck out. Mike Santorelli was the Jets' second shooter. You brought him in from Florida. The thing he does best, because, I mean, we've seen him play, the thing he does best is shootout moves.
Yep.
And he beats Ben Bishop 5-hole.
Comes in with good speed. Yep. Looked like it was 5-hole, right?
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure it was 5-hole. So it's 1-0 Jets. Then
Wheeler tried 5-hole, by the way, so you know.
That's right.
So they're both right-handed shooters, and they both have good speed.
So Pavlik makes the save.
So Santorelli came in with more speed.
Pavlik makes the save on Purcell. Then Pavlik goes up against Panic, and Panic, you know, same move almost as Purcell. And
just different. He's a left-handed shooter.
Right, left-handed shooter. But
you
got
to raise
sort of,
it. It's harder to raise when you're a left-handed shooter.
Jam it in the corner there, but Pavlik's game to that. Then the Jets' third shooter with the chance to win the game is who else? Andrew Ladd. I believe he also goes 5-hole. It sounded like Bishop may have gotten a piece of it, but not enough. It squeaks through. And I'll tell you what, if you're the Winnipeg Jets and you're facing the Tampa Bay Lightning in a shootout and you don't see Martin St. Louis or Steven Stamkos, you're very thankful.
Yeah, and that's the argument. Do you save him for the end or do you use him in the beginning? Now, there's only three rounds, so why wouldn't you have used one of them? I don't know. Some teams go by the stats more than others. Who knows? But, you know, your lad, that's a storybook ending for the Jets and a big night and a big win.
Exactly right. That's the end of the game for the Jets. They defeat the Tampa Bay Lightning by a 4-3 margin. The three stars, third star, Steven Stamkos.
Yeah, well, rightfully so.
Second star, Blake Wheeler. The first star, Andrew Ladd. Time on ice in tonight's game. Dustin Byfuglien leads all players, playing 26 minutes and 43 seconds. Zach Bogosian, 24-12. Grant Clipsom, 24-08. In terms of forwards, of Alex Burmistrov, big numbers in terms of time on ice, 20 minutes and 45 seconds in this game. Evander Kane, 20-59, that led all forwards, and Andrew Ladd, 20-13. Jets are obviously next in action Thursday night here against the Carolina Hurricanes. Before my colleague Richard Pollock, for producer Michael Remus, I'm your host Drew Mandel. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow night on NHL Midweek on TSN 1290.